Again tonight, we're happy to see your presence. Certainly miss those who are away and hope they'll soon be back with us. I was studying at home a couple of lessons. I couldn't make up my mind hardly which one to preach tonight. And I decided finally, and when I got here, I didn't have it with me, so I was going to preach the other one and hope that we can do okay with this lesson. There are six things which are always true about the grace of God. Yes, God's grace, amazing grace. I'm afraid sometimes we take the grace of God for granted. We don't maybe appreciate His grace like we should. What is God's grace? Well, grace actually means favor or blessing. God's favor toward us, His blessings toward us. In Romans 3 and verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so God's favor was upon man that He sent His Son to redeem man, to pay the price that was necessary that man might be saved. And so we can be justified or be right or acceptable to God by His grace through Jesus Christ. Also, it means a gift that is freely given. We know that God saved Noah through grace. Yes, His favor toward Noah. Noah built the ark and saved his family. And so there's an example of God's grace and man's faith. In Romans 5, verse 15, it says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, that is through Adam's sin in the garden, many died as a result of that, man's sin. And after Adam sinned, then others sinned, and they separated themselves from God. He says, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And so it's through Jesus Christ that we receive the grace of God, the free gift, the blessings of God, salvation from God. If it were not for Jesus and His death upon the cross, we could not be saved. And verse 17 of Romans 5 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, that is through Adam, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. And so Adam brought sin and he brought death upon mankind. But Jesus Christ, we receive the abundance of grace, the gift of the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. In Romans 8 and verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so God spared not his only begotten son. God allowed his son to suffer and to die on the cross for our sins. He delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so if he's willing to spare not his own son, then he's willing to give us those gifts that he wants us to have. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. And so through the word of God, we can know what is God's will and that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He tells us in His Word what He has given us, and we should be thankful for those gifts. Ephesians 1, verse 6 and 7, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And so we have forgiveness of our sins through the riches of His grace. Redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. God's favor and God's love toward us was so great that he gave his son to die and shed his blood that we might have forgiveness. Grace is the opposite of works, of merit. Now we cannot earn or we cannot merit our salvation. It's through the grace of God that we're saved. And we should never leave out the grace of God, the love of God, the goodness of God. Without his grace, we cannot earn it. We cannot merit our salvation through our own works, doing our own things. In Romans 11 and verse 6, says, if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. And so if we could work or merit our salvation, then we would not be saved by grace. And so we are saved by grace and not through our own works and our own ways. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, who has saved us, called us with a holy calling. That is, God has called us through his word, a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us by Christ Jesus before time began. And so it was God's purpose, it was God's plan for a man to be saved through his grace. It says, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And so this was God's plan in the beginning, that he was willing to give his son to die on the cross. In Titus 3, verse 5 through 7, it says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so we're not saved by the works of righteousness that we have done, by our own works. We cannot merit our salvation, earn our salvation, but it's through Jesus Christ. It says, having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs, heirs of God, according to the hope of eternal life. And so we have that hope of eternal life because of the grace of God, his love for us. Grace is available to everyone. Every person has opportunity to receive the grace of God and to be saved. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. God is gracious to all mankind. It doesn't matter what color you are, what race you are. Every person has opportunity to please and serve God. There's no respecter of persons with God. God loves the black man as much as he does the white man, the red man, or whatever country we're from. Every person is equal in the eyes of God. In Acts 10 and verse 34, Peter opened his mouth to Cornelius and his household and said, in truth, I perceive God shows no partiality. God is no respecter of persons. Romans 2 and verse 11, for there is no partiality with God. Yes, God is not prejudiced against certain races. In Ephesians 6 and verse 9, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. There is no partiality with him. And so the rich and the poor, it doesn't make any difference to God. He is no respecter of person. Colossians 3 and verse 25, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. There is no partiality. 1 Peter 1 verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each man, each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And so we're going to be judged according to our work or the lives that we live. And God is no respecter of persons. He shows no partiality. Also, grace is revealed in the Word of God. God has revealed His grace to us in His Word. God's grace is not a mysterious feeling. A lot of people talk about their religious feelings, but actually it's the Word of God that guides us and directs us and tells us about God's grace. God's grace is revealed in His Word. In Acts 20 and verse 24, it says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And so Paul here is telling, none of these things move me. He was willing to die for the cause of Christ. He says, the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the Word of God. Yes, tells of the grace of God. In Acts 20 and verse 32, it says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." The word of His grace. It's through the grace, the favor, the goodness of God, He has given us His word to lead us and to guide us. He tells us what He wants us to do. God's grace calls us through His word. In Galatians 1 verse 16, it says, "To reveal His Son to me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." Now this was shortly Paul writing about when he was converted. He had been on the road to Damascus and he was told what he must do to be saved. "His Son was revealed to me that He might preach among the Gentiles." And then he said he did it immediately. He didn't have to confer with flesh and blood. He didn't have to go to the apostles first and find out what he was to preach. He was led by the Spirit of God. Yes, concerning the grace of God. God's grace can be heard. In Colossians 1 verses 5 and 6, "Because of the hope which is laid up for us in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it also in all the world is bringing forth fruit, as it also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." And so here, Paul, writing to the Colossians, speaks about the grace of God in truth. The Word of God reveals the grace of God. Also, God's grace was prophesied by the prophets back before the church was established. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 10, says, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you." And so it was prophesied concerning the grace of God that would come to mankind. Grace is the basis of our salvation. God's favor toward us is the basis of our salvation. Ephesians 2 verse 5 through 9, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And so it's by the grace of God that we have been saved, through faith. Grace is God's part. Faith is man's part. They go together. We can't have one without the other. He says it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Our salvation is a gift of God, a free gift. Before obeying the gospel, man is dead in sin and separated from God, dead in his trespasses. good news that God is rich in mercy and love toward us. By grace, you can be saved. How did the Corinthians receive God's grace? Well, the gospel was preached to them concerning the grace of God. We notice in Acts 18 and 8, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. Many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. And so here we see how the grace of God is at work. When man hears the gospel and they believe it, and they're baptized into Christ, we see the grace of God at work. Grace is the basis of our salvation. In Acts 15 and verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. That is, the Jew and the Gentile are equal. It makes no difference to God. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. And it's through the grace of Jesus Christ that we're saved in the same manner. Yes, first the Jews were saved on Pentecost, and then later on the Gentiles were saved, Cornelius and his household. How did Cornelius and his house receive the grace of the Lord Jesus? Well, they didn't merit their salvation. Cornelius was told to send for Peter, who would come and tell him what he must do to be saved. And Peter came to Cornelius and he told him what he must do. In Acts 10, 47 and 48, he said, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, have received the Holy Ghost, just as we have? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. And here we see the grace of God working when the Gentiles were saved. Peter preached to them. He commanded them to be baptized to be saved. They heard, they believed, they repented, they confessed their faith in Jesus, and they were baptized into Christ. We see the grace of God at work. Grace is always in harmony with the truth. There's no confliction or difference there between the grace of God and the truth. There's no conflict whatsoever. It's always in harmony. In John 1 and verse 14, speaking of Jesus, says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. He's the only begotten of the Father. It says he was full of grace, God's favor, and truth. John 1, 16 and 17, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so the law of Moses, it came through Moses. But he says Jesus Christ, grace and truth came through him. Salvation was provided for mankind through Jesus Christ. The truth was given, what man must do to be saved, receive the grace of God. God is gracious. God is true. There is no contradiction here whatsoever. It is false when messages and doctrines that emphasize grace and sacrifice the need of learn and obey the truth of God. A lot of churches today, religious organizations, they emphasize grace, and that's good. But they leave off learning and obeying God's word. They seem to think it's not important to learn the truth or to obey the truth. But they're equally important. We should preach grace, but also learn the truth and obey it. It's false when messages that emphasize truth and Bible authority and give no attention to acknowledge God's grace. And so when we preach the truth and we preach about Bible authority, we should not leave off grace, the grace of God. Without the grace of God, none of us could be saved. Everything depends upon His grace. our faith in him. If I know and acknowledge his grace, I want to walk in the truth of his word. Yes, we know that God saves us. He gives us his grace. But I want to do what God tells me to do. Grace is always accessed by faith. There must be faith to accept the grace of God. In Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have accessed by faith into this grace in which we stand, rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so we have access to the by faith into the grace. If we don't have faith, then we can't accept the grace of God. There must be faith along with grace. Yes, we're justified and we can have peace with God when we accept his grace through his word. Do I need these? Certainly we do. The room of God's grace is accepted by the door of faith. It's like opening the door to receive his grace. Active faith is revealed in the word of God. In Romans 1 and verse 5, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Obedience to the faith. And so active faith is obedience. If I believe God, then I'm going to obey God. If I don't obey God, then I don't believe. I don't have the faith. Romans 16, verse 19. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Yes, your obedience. Yes, they had faith in God, the Romans. Yes, they proved their faith by their obedience. James 1 and verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so we're to be a doer of the work, doer of the word, and not just hearers when we look into the perfect law of liberty. James teaches us the importance of faith and works. Of course, it's through the grace of God that we're saved. James 2:14 began, he says, what does it profit, my brethren? If one says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And so we see how works and faith go along together through the grace of God. Grace can be seen when faith is practiced. In Acts 11:23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. So they had seen the grace of God. When he saw their people were obeying the gospel and living the Christian life, we sing trust and obey. Grace is the basis of godly character. Yes, it's through grace that causes us to live a godly life. In Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And so this is where the grace of God finds its place in the heart and lives of Christians. First, the grace of God saves us. Second, the grace of God teaches us something. What does it teach us? To deny ourselves of ungodliness and worldly lust. Also, it teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's grace teaches us these things. Yes, God's grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Grace is the basis of godly character. We must continue in God's grace. In Acts 13, verse 43, "Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews, devout proselytes, followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." How do we continue in the grace of God? By following His word, obeying His commandments. Yes, we must cease from sin. In Romans 6, 1 and 2, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein?" And so we're not to continue in sin that grace may abound, but we're to give up our sins. Must not receive the grace of God in vain. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 1, "We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." And so if we obey the gospel and then we become unfaithful to God, we turn our backs upon God, then God's grace will be in vain as far as we're concerned. We must not make void the grace of God. In Galatians 2, 20 and 21, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness came through the law, then Christ died in vain." Yes, righteousness does not come through the law of Moses. We must not fall from grace. Yes, we can fall from the grace of God. In Galatians 5 and 4, "You have become entangled from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you're fallen from grace." And so we need to be careful that we're faithful to God. Grace is the basis of godly character. Must be strengthened in grace. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace. We must find grace to help us. In Hebrews 4, 16, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." Grace will help us to overcome our problems. We must stand in grace. 1 Peter 5, verse 12, "By Silvanus, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying, this is the true grace of God in which you stand." The true grace of God in which you stand. We must grow in grace. Peter says, "Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We must not pervert the grace of God in any way. In Jude, the fourth verse, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness, deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, they were perverting God's grace. They were denying the Lord. God's grace is available to everyone. It's revealed in the Word of God. It is the basis of our salvation. We're saved by grace through faith. It is in harmony with the truth. There's no contradiction with the truth of God's word. It is accessed by faith. We must have faith to receive that grace, just like Noah had faith in God and he received the grace of God. It is the basis of godly character. Will you accept God's grace today? Yes, God's love for you and His mercy. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, it's through God's grace and His love and mercy that you can be saved. Yes, He spared not His own Son to die on the cross for our sins. Yes, Jesus died for you, but it's up to you to accept that grace through your faith and obedience to God. You must have faith in God, believe that He is. You must repent of your sins, turn away from your sins to God. Make the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and be baptized to wash away your sins. The blood of Christ will cleanse you from all your sins. You'll be redeemed. You'll be a Christian. You'll be a child of God. God's grace will be upon you. He will bless you in this life and give you a home in heaven. And so if you need to obey the gospel, why don't you come now while Jesus invites you to come? Someday you'll